to be in your house this day, this morning. Also a privilege to be able to have the Word of God, to hold it in our hands and have it placed in our hearts and understanding by the Holy Spirit Himself. Father, there is something that really upset your Son, Jesus. We've been reading about it, teaching about it. And I pray that you will instill in us the same hatred that He has for compromise in His church, for false teaching, things that do not line up with the Word of the living God, things that have not come from You. I pray that You will give us a discerning spirit, that every time we hear someone speak, especially in the house of God, that our spiritual understanding will be so fine-tuned by the Word of the living God that we will be able to immediately recognize false teaching. And we will not tolerate it, nor will we compromise in any way. I thank You for giving us the Word of God. It is our sanity today. We thank You that it is absolute truth and absolute reality. It has come from You. Jesus has spoken it. Thank You. Give us boldness. Give us wisdom. Give us the strength we need to be the child of God You have called us to be. That we will be that verbal witness we are called also to be. And thank You for the love of God that fills our hearts. Thank You for the peace of God that is given us as Your children and having peace with You because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with You, the Father. So I pray that You'll give us understanding here in a moment of what really disgusts You, what You really hate, because I'm afraid it's tolerated way too much in Your church today. Even a little bit of toleration of compromise is a no-no. So, Father, I pray, help us to deal with it in the way You ask us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice the title is The Doctrine or the Teachings of the Nicolaitans. Well, let's begin with the introduction. The word Nicolaitan means one who conquers or subdues people. As a group, the Nicolaitans were introducing doctrines or teachings and deeds that were conquering God's people and eliminating the power of God from their midst. The church was becoming spiritually sick and weak. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans was destroying the church for whom Jesus Christ died, and He hated that. If He hates it, you and I should hate it also. You may say that's a little strong, preacher, isn't it? Speaking of hatred in the house of the living God, I think not. If Jesus said He hated it, I should also follow in His steps and hate false teaching and compromise too. Let's look at the word hate. The word hate, this is more than dislike. It is outright hatred. Jesus was completely disgusted with what the Nicolaitans were teaching. He had no tolerance for it, and neither are we to have any tolerance for compromise or false teaching either. Notice the question. How do you know when Nicolaitanism has entered the modern church? Well, let's look at signs of modern Nicolaitanism. Number one, no emphasis on living holy and separated from the world. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Get ready to write just a little bit. But like the Holy One, go back to that word like. two things here. Number one, the word like means be as the same nature. So to put it in context here, he's saying be as the same nature as the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means to be in conformity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the second definition means be like the Holy One. Model Jesus Christ. Set Him forth as the supreme example of the Word of the living God. But like the Holy One who called you. Underline the word called. It means to give a divine invitation. So, but like the Holy One who called you, giving you a divine invitation, be holy. Underline that word be. The word be in the Greek is a Greek aorist imperative, and it means do this immediately, get it done, do not wait. So a lifestyle of holiness is called to be an immediate thing in your life as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, get it done just as soon as possible. All right, let's look at that word holy here for a moment. The word holy means set apart for God's exclusive use and pleasure. It also means complete devotion to the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this in context speaks of inner holiness. They were to see to it that inner holiness found outward expression in the lives of God's people. But like the Holy One who called you by divine invitation, be holy yourselves in all your conduct or behavior. You'll notice the word conduct or behavior means be set apart from the world by your godly character. And a godly character is going to come from the Word of God being received and acted out in your life as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And moral courage. Well, look at number two. When you talk about signs of modern Nicolaitanism, you get this. No emphasis on the doctrinal teaching of the Bible. Number three, no emphasis on absolute truth or absolute biblical authority. Number four, no exclusionary belief that Jesus Christ alone is the way to heaven. Well, let's look at John chapter 14, verse 6, and see what he has to say about this. Actually, Jesus Christ is going to do the speaking. Chad, I don't know about you, but just the first word of John 14, 6, I have to ask these questions. Jesus. Who in the world is Jesus Christ? And why am I to listen to what this man has to say, even though he's not man, he's the God-man? So if somebody is going to tell me how to be saved, should I put a lot of stock in what he's saying? If I know nothing of the credentials of the man that is saying this, let's read it. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one, and that will never change. It is non-negotiable. No one comes to the Father but through me, and that is the Son, Jesus Christ. So many Baptists today say, I'm saved. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have accepted Him as my precious Lord and Savior. But according to this verse, salvation is more than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's also having a relationship with God the Father. Let's go back and look at Jesus Christ. So if I'm to believe all of this, then I need to check this guy out, don't I? I need to understand who he is, because he's asking me to invest eternal life with him. And I want to make sure that Jesus Christ can deliver. So if someone asks you about this verse, Say you're at Uncle Bubba's, or you're at Red Dome, or you're in Brookshire's, or you're somewhere else. Maybe you're in church and you're surprised someone is going to ask you this. They said, why do you believe what this guy Jesus has to say? He's telling you he can give you eternal, everlasting life. He can deliver you by grace through faith from your sins. Do you really believe that? Do you really know this guy? So to me, I want to know who's doing the talking and about his credentials if I'm going to give him what he's asking from me. Let's look at Jesus for just a moment. The word Jesus refers to the incarnate, eternal Son of God. As the incarnate one, he is Jesus as the God-man. He is Jesus who has come to earth of virgin birth. He is Jesus that walked this world for about 33 years. He is Jesus that was what? The reality of the living God. He was the truthful and accurate expression of the living God. He was Jesus Christ who one day went to the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. He is the Jesus of the Bible that paid our sin debt in full, a debt that I could never pay. He's the Jesus that has been raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. He is Jesus that is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is Jesus that is going to judge every human being at the right time, at the right moment. He is Jesus, the Son of the living God. He is eternal. He has no point of origin. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is without limits. He is eternality. He who was and is forever going to be. All right? Listen to a little more about Jesus Christ. Jesus' humanity enabled him to perfectly complete the life of faith and be the first to experience bodily resurrection, that is, glorification of the physical body. This guaranteed the glorification of all who truly know him as Lord and Savior. Secondly, Jesus the eternal, without beginning and without end, is the self-existent one. Somebody says, Terry, does Jesus have a point of origin? You can go back as far as you want to go, back beyond time, and you'll never find a place where Jesus began. Jesus is the self-existent one. And so is God the Father, and so is the Holy Spirit. In other words, they have always been there in existence. I do not have the human intellect nor the words to explain that Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit have always existed. So therefore, they are self-existent life. Here's another. Jesus took on human flesh so that his physical body could become the vehicle to absorb all our judgment for sin. I'm liking this guy a whole lot better already. Then notice it says, Jesus said. The word said is Lego. Chad, have you ever stepped on any Legos that were on the floor? Well, when you did, you might have hollered something you shouldn't have hollered. But you know, you raise your leg real quick. So what do you do with Legos? Most everybody's got some. If you have kids, they're about like that. And you begin to snap them one by one and you begin to build things. I think that's how that goes. Well, the word Lego means this. Jesus here is bringing his followers, his listeners, to the end point of the conversation that he has started. Jesus said, and we've already made reference to this, Jesus said, I am. What does that mean? Jesus is eternality. He is the self-existent life. Number two, Jesus Christ is unlimited in his being. Jesus Christ can do anything he wants to do, anywhere and with anybody. And I'm always encouraged, and I've said this before, when Jesus was working with a jackass and that jackass was talking, I knew there was hope for me. Janae grinned real big and said, yes, there is, Terry. Okay, now here we go. God Jesus, acts in time. We know that, no question. But from eternity. So when every something of God is being done here on earth, it had already been done in eternity. That's where it all started, and it was placed and put into time. Thus, to the Lord, the past, the present, and the future are always simultaneous. Then there's eternal life for believers. Eternal life for believers operates in time and beyond time, giving temporal scenes on earth eternal meaning and reward. You see, every child of God is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll stand before Christ. And the issue will not be your sins, they've been taken care of. The issue will be what you did or did not do as a Christian living the life that God had asked you to live. Then there is the great white throne judgment. Somebody says, boy, that's the one that I want to be at. Well, not me. That's the judgment of damnation. You see, it's the white throne judgment because it's about the holiness of Almighty God and the holy standard that God is going to use to judge every unbelieving person that has ever lived on planet Earth. All right, now look at the word truth. Jesus said, I am what? I am the truth. What is true to fact? What is reality? He is opposite of illusion. The revealed reality of God. This truth, someone revealed for what he really is. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Look at the word life. Now, all human life and all creation is derived. Look at that word, or just write it down, the word derived. D-E-R-I-V-E-D. It means comes from a source. So let's reread it. All human life and all creation comes from a source. Well, I wonder who that source is. It is the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him and through Him. And God was also in that process. None is self-standing. No human being is self-standing. Creation is not self-standing. It comes from a source, and that source, again, is Jesus Christ. And then he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Underline the word through. The word through refers to a bridge that goes from this side of the chasm to the other side of the chasm. Let me tell you something. If you have a bridge, and it's anchored down on this side of the chasm, and it's about 2 or 3 inches short to get to the other side, you're not going to make it, are you? Well, I got news for you. Here's the exciting thing. Jesus says, I'm a bridge that goes from one side all the way across to the other side. For if you have received me, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior, then I guarantee you, you're going to make it across to the other side. And you and I are going to partner in fellowship. And you and I are going to enjoy eternal life one of these days. You're going to be in my presence forever and forever. And there will never be a dull moment when you and I come together to spend a togetherness in eternity. And God's people said amen to that. And we are thankful for that. All right, let's go back to page 1 at the very bottom of the page below John chapter 14 verse 6. Notice there's no emphasis on holy living if you listen to what the Nicolaitans have to teach. So Nicolaitan teaching, there is no need for separation. In other words, God will save you where you're at. You can accept Jesus Christ no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at in life. But there's no need for improvement. There's no need for maturity. There's no need for Christ-likeness. There's no need for progressive sanctification. Just get saved and keep on living like you have been. That's what we're going to teach as Nicolaitans. So there is no need for separation between believers and the world. All viewpoints are acceptable. That's what they will teach you. If you ever have a teacher or a preacher up here and says, you know what? God will accept you as you are. That sounds good. I'll take that. And God will accept everybody, no matter what your belief or no matter what your viewpoint, God will receive you into His body and you'll be one of His. That is a lie that is straight out of hell. And let me tell you something. Somebody needs to stand up and rise up, not after the message, but stand up after that false statement and say, that is not true according to the Word of God. And that needs to be corrected. You should not be allowed to continue with false teaching that you have just started. All right, do you understand? All viewpoints are not acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And then in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The word only begotten in the Greek means there's nobody else like Jesus Christ. He is the only one of His kind. He is the only Savior that was anointed in eternity past to be the Savior of all that would come to Him, receiving Him as precious Lord and Savior. So when somebody says it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe in, it does absolutely according to the Word of God. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you cannot have a relationship with the Father. And if you have no relationship with the Son and the Father, you're damned, 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 and you're doomed. And that is non-negotiable, and that will not change as you are cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. And say, Terry, I think that's kind of selfish. No, I didn't come up with this. Jesus did. And I'll tell you why. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's the only begotten Son of God. Let's go back again. Do you know who Jesus is? Can you teach about Jesus? Can you witness about Jesus? When He says, I'm the only way, can you verify that? Can you stand up and present that in a very verbal way with all holy boldness? Jesus Christ is God. He always has been, always will be. He is the Son of God that came to carry out the will of God. And Jesus is the only one that died on the cross. Only God could pay your sin debt in full. Only God could shed the blood that He shed. Only God could be raised from the dead by the power of God. Do you get this? It's God from the beginning. It's God in the middle. It's God in the end. It is God all the way through, or it ain't real. Amen. There is no need for separation between believers in the world. All viewpoints are acceptable. Oprah Winfrey, listen. She'll get you in trouble. Amen. She'll keep you out of heaven. Nicolaitan teaching, there's no need for separation between believers in the world. All viewpoints are acceptable. That's a lie. Even if they are contrary to teaching and doctrines found in the Bible. I know you won't find it in the Bible. I know Jesus Christ does not teach this. But we do. Brother, make a choice. Life is about making decisions, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you spiritual enlightenment that you may choose the truth and the right way, that Jesus Christ is God, He's Savior. He is everything the Bible says, and listen to this, He's everything the Bible says and more. Amen. And I'll tell you something else, I'm learning more all the time. I knew it. I've known it. The more I study this, the more I realize I am nothing. I am nothing. And you are nothing. Boy, that silenced you, didn't it? It's not that you're not worth nothing, don't get me wrong. Isaiah said it another way. He got close to the Lord and says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Who are you? Who are you? I'm proud to say, I am a child of God. Amen. And before Him, I am nothing. Page 2. Emphasis on God's Word. Nicolaitanism dresses itself. What does it mean, dresses itself? It means disguises itself. So false teaching will disguise itself, and so will the false teacher. Nicolaitanism dresses itself in the guise of progressiveness. What do you hear on TV all the time? The progressive mindset, the progressive left. Well, you need to know something about it. Because I'm going to tell you something. The second wave is on its way of false teaching when you study it. There's a big wave of false teaching coming along with this false teachers. There is no emphasis placed on the doctrinal teachings of the Bible. That's the guise of progressiveness. There is no emphasis placed on the doctrinal teachings of the Bible. Instead, much of the doctrine is dismissed as being too restrictive. Your old sin nature don't like it. It's trying to tell me what to do, the Bible is. The old sin nature says, I don't want it, and I don't like it, and I don't need it. I'm going to be my own little God, and I'll make my own decisions, thank you. And you'll be damned too. Or too exclusive of the beliefs of others. Instead of being deemed the absolute truth, the Bible is used merely as a reference for illustrations, motivational sermons. You can get that in Houston. And principles. It is not used to instruct in God's way or to let someone know that his or her behavior is wrong. Basic Bible doctrines like the virgin birth. Must I believe in the virgin birth? Yes. Is it important? Yes. The sinlessness of Christ. Then there is sin. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. That's biblical. Then there's salvation. Salvation is deliverance from sin by the grace of God and belief in Jesus Christ. Then there's holiness. What is holiness? It results from a right relationship with God by believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. Then there is eternal judgment. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This ought to scare the hell out of you. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read from the Bible here. It is the Amplified Study Bible. It will put some more words in there than you're probably used to, but it's good stuff. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. That's a pretty throne. White. Can you imagine how white it is? Because it's there symbolic of the holiness of God, so it's going to be pretty white, isn't it? And I saw a great white throne of him and him who was seated upon it, Jesus Christ. Because all judgment has been handed to him. From whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. For this heaven and earth are passing away. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, every thought, every word, every deed, as written in the books. That is everything done while on earth in your physical body. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, the realm of the dead, surrendered the dead who were in them, and they were judged and sentenced every one according to their deeds. Now you don't get into heaven by good works. Please don't misunderstand this, because I don't know what good works you could do that was any better than the cross of Christ. This is the second death, the lake of fire, the eternal separation from God. Then verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire, and I'll add my words, forever and ever and ever. Somebody said, Terry, how long will my body last in the lake of fire? Well, I got news for you. Jesus and God are going to give you a body that fire won't consume. But you'll be miserable as hell in it. Back to the printout. There's that eternal judgment are almost completely unknown in Nicolaitan teaching. Where Nicolaitanism prevails, doctrine is replaced. If you don't know your Bible, you'll sit there and just suck it up and eat it. But if you know the Word of God, you will not take it. Nicolaitanism prevails. Doctrine is replaced with social action. Social action. Underline the two words. I'm going to define it for you. Social action. Group activities that are aimed at social benefits for the community. As long as we're helping the community and the community is happy, we're doing our job. That won't get you into heaven. That's good works. Back to the printout. With social action, social justice. What is social justice? A movement for improving the lives of people. A movement for improving the lives of people. That sounds really good, doesn't it? But you know what? That alone won't get you into heaven. The first thing you've got to do is accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior and then ask Him what He wants you to do in the community. You may be surprised. It may not be delivering cookies or cakes. It may be taking a Bible with you and asking, can I share Jesus Christ with you? Will you invite Him to be your Savior? Then you can have cookies and cakes. And an appeal to mass audiences by making people feel better about themselves. No emphasis on absolute truth or biblical authority. Underline biblical authority. I'll define that one. Biblical authority. All authority begins with God. Amen. All authority begins with God and is to be submitted to and respected. Nicolaitanism cleverly disguises as open-mindedness. It teaches that everyone possesses a piece of the truth. The truth of the Bible takes an inferior place in order to equally honor the beliefs of others. Isn't that amazing? We can't mention Jesus Christ in school because you got all kinds of different beliefs and faiths out there. Is that correct? Well, what does the Bible say? You can believe all you want in something other than Jesus Christ. That's your choice. That's your privilege. But listen, Jesus said, and since we know His credentials, and we know that Jesus is God. Jesus died for you and died for me. And He was raised from the dead for you and for me. And seated now at the right hand of God the Father. I think I'm going to listen to what Jesus Christ has to say. Again, because in John chapter 1, Jesus says, the gospel says, the Word of God says, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. There's nobody like Him. Nobody talks like Him. Nobody has provided what He can provide. So who are you going to believe in? Some yahoo out there that's lost his way? I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ of the Bible.
Amen.
Back to the printout. According to this, listen to this. The truth of the Bible takes an inferior place in order to equally honor the beliefs of others. That's wrong. Even if those beliefs are opposed to Bible teachings and doctrines, according to this inclusive, progressive mindset, you're going to love this. OAC would hug your neck if you'd accept this. Here she is, progressive mindset. It means advancement in science. And Joe Biden is all over it. It is technology. Economic development and social organizations are vital to improve the human condition. Boy, just try to be good and do good stuff and you have got it made. You've just damned yourself to hell. If you cannot once again accept Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man without exception can come to the Father. No man can have a relationship with God the Father unless you first have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's biblical, non-negotiable, and listen to this, it's never, ever going to change.
Amen.
Questions. Does Jesus hate this kind of thinking? I don't think we have an English word strong enough, Chad. for hate here. Does it surprise you that Jesus hates something? Not if you read the Bible. Does Jesus hate this kind of thinking? I thought Jesus was love. Well, turn over that other side of the coin, and on the other side it's got holiness. Holiness. That means Jesus Christ is holy. He's set apart unto God. And salvation is set apart unto God. It's that holy. No emphasis. Listen to this. Let's go this. The statistical fact, more than half of evangelical Christians today do not believe in the absolute authority of the Bible. And you think if you go to church, everything is just churchy and hunky-dory? That is not so. Have you ever brought up something in Sunday school, a controversial subject, and boy, some eyes glued in on you, pretty sharp, like laser beams. In other words, how dare you say that? I can't believe that you believe that. Well, I believe you can be Baptist. I believe you can be Catholic. I believe you can be about anything that you want to be. And here's what some of them say. Well, Terry, I've got great insurance. I'm a Southern Baptist. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Church of Christ. So, man, I'm so insured that I'm surely going to make it. And I heard one guy say, was standing by his wife. She was dying in the hospital. He said, Terry, I just can't accept this. I have so much insurance on her, she can't die. Yeah. Thought you didn't have enough. Back to the printout. No emphasis on Christ as the only way to heaven. Nicolaitanism promotes what? Tolerance. And Jesus says, I hate tolerance. It disgusts me. I'm personally disgusted with it. There is no belief that Christ alone is the way to heaven, really. They teach everyone can discover his or her way to heaven. Good luck on that one, because it'll never happen. This makes Christianity one truth among many other truths. What am I saying? If you're going to live the Christian life, you can't live it with a closed Bible. If you're going to live the Christian life, you have to live it with an open Bible, and you've got to read it. According to this mindset, the belief that Christ alone is the way to heaven is considered nonsense. Point. Stay with the Word of God. Amen. Number two, truth is truth, and it never changes. Well, if we're going to be successful here at Hainesville Baptist Church, we got to catch up to the culture at hand. Which one you want? The cancel culture? You want Antifa? You want Black Lives Matter? Oh, Black Lives Matter is very upset with Joe Biden because he's been in office all this time and he has not talked to them. I want to say if you told him this morning, he forgot about it last night. The world will go in another direction, and as God's people, we cannot live in both worlds. Number three, we must be committed. You know what? The Satan has something most churches don't have. Satan has something most churches just don't have. Commitment. Satan is very committed. And that's why he's so successful. If the church was as committed as Satan, what victory we would experience. I bet you never thought that, did you? He's got something most churches don't. Commitment. Well, if you're going to wade through all this false teaching that's coming from outside, you better get real committed. Or somebody's going to whip you real good. His name is Satan. And his demonic army is so highly organized and intelligent. And boy, what strategy they have. We must be committed to the teaching of the Word of God. Hold fast to the name of Jesus and not deny our faith. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for enlightening us about false teaching and how you hate it. You are disgusted by it. And if we'll read a little further down in the Bible, the church of Pergamum, Jesus said, if you repent, we're okay. But remember, repentance is not remorse. Judas remorsed. He didn't repent. For repent is a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior and to a radical Christian life. So, Father, I pray. You said, I'll give you time to repent, false teachers. Not as you're teaching. You need to get out of the church if you're doing that. But I'll give you time, because if you won't repent and that church doesn't do anything, I will come and I will make war with you. I got news for you, congregation. When Jesus comes to make war with his church, he wins every time. Help us to be bold. Help us to know when we're under false teaching. And help us to stand and get rid of it immediately if it happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.